11 o'clock, and we have another time certain. Carla, would you please read the title of time certain number 1085?
Did you want to announce the 1084?
Excuse me.
Let me read the title.
Yes, if you
1084.
Could you first read 1084?
Approve funding recommendations for challenge grants in after-school, early childhood, and child abuse prevention and intervention programs made by Children's Levy Allocation Committee.
At the request of Commissioner Dan Saltzman, this matter has been set over to a future council meeting, date and time to be determined. Carla, would you please read time certain 1085?
Promote use of reusable bags. Prohibit the provision of single-use plastic or non-recycled paper carry-out bags at specified stores. Require regulated stores to charge a minimum of 5 cents per bag for recycled paper or compostable plastic bags, and provide reusable bags at no cost to seniors and low-income residents.
Mayor Adams.
Thank you, President Fish. My views on this issue are well known. Our work with community-based partners and the for-profit sector stretches to past 2.5 to 3 years. So I'm pleased today that urges passage of a statewide ban in 2011 legislative two-thirds of voters need to take action now, but I think investment in the statewide effort first is even better. The proposed ordinance, I will be coming back to council soon after the legislature is concluded its session, if it has not been able to act, and ask the city council to support its ordinance, as I mentioned before, moving forward. Although I think that this will help spur action in subsequent legislative sessions if we're not able to get it done the next legislative session. So with that, President Fish, I'd ask that we have our
Thank you, Mayor Adams. So it's my pleasure to welcome three invited guests who will kick off the testimony, and then we'll go to public testimony. And if you haven't signed up, Carla has a list. They are Senator Mark Hass, my state senator, Senator Jackie Dingfelder, and Representative Ben Cannon. We're honored to have all three of you here today. Welcome. Who wants to start? Mark, Senator Hass, if you could begin. You're not technically under any time limit, but we welcome you and invite your testimony.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Commissioners, Mayor, I hope you're feeling better. I have a prepared statement from us. I'll just hand out, and I think we're all here really just to say we strongly support this resolution, and mostly we want to say thank you for making way for this state approach. I think the litter problem in Oregon is every bit as bad as it was in the 70s when Oregon responded with the bottle bill, which was a statewide solution that not only helped put Oregon out there as a model for other states to follow, but also gave Oregon the highest recycling rate of any state in our country. And more importantly, there's no more beer cans or pop bottles on the roadways or on the beaches. Unfortunately, though, since then, plastic bags have found refuge on those very same beaches and roadways. And that's why I think a statewide solution today on plastic bags is the most common sense solution here. So thank you for this resolution, and I promise to work as hard as I possibly can to try and pass this in the state legislature. And to that end, I've made friends with some key people, including the chairs of the House and Senate Environment Committees, who are here today with me.
That's a nice segue to the distinguished chair of the Senate Environmental Committee, Senator Jackie Dingfelder. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you, and Mr. Mayor and City Commissioners. And Mr. Mayor, sorry you can't be here in person. I want to appreciate all the hard work that you've done, and am here to say that I completely support the city's resolution that's before you today regarding plastic bags. I've heard from a lot of my constituents, as I know you have as well, on this issue, and the vast majority overwhelmingly support this ban. Portland's resolution will assist us at the legislature in passing this. I believe it's an important step. Just like we worked together on the payday loan issue, I worked very closely with Commissioner Salzman, who unfortunately is not here. I see that this is a similar partnership in order to make sure that we have a statewide comprehensive policy. Certainly, that's our goal, is to pass that. I've committed to my colleague here that this will be one of the first bills that we hear in my committee next session, and certainly look forward to hopefully passing that out in a timely manner. Specifically in regard to plastic bag issues, I want to recognize the leadership of the mayor and want to thank him for the years of effort on this issue. We know that this isn't something that he's just been working on the past few weeks, but has taken this on over the years. Certainly the amount of waste that's generated by these plastic bags is tremendous, and hopefully our actions here today and in the legislature will help reduce that. Certainly that's an issue that both Representative Cannon and I are looking at, not just single-use bags, but a comprehensive approach to how we can manage these products and reduce waste overall in the state. So I believe that working together in this legislation will be a very positive partnership. I'm looking forward to hopefully having many of the folks behind me coming to testify in my committee, and I certainly will encourage the commissioners and the mayor to come testify. So hopefully we can move forward together in passing this next session. So looking forward to working with you, and I would be remiss if I did not also thank my colleague, Senator Haas, for his leadership. We did have a hearing on this bill in the February session, in the February special session. Had a lot of support, didn't move forward then, but I'm optimistic and hopeful that it will move forward in the next session in 2011. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm now pleased to introduce the only Rhodes Scholar in the room, and Representative Ben Cannon. Welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Have you checked on the other members in attendance here? You never know.
He is the only Rhodes Scholar in the legislature.
Assured me that it was an error when he placed it on his resume. He has promised to delete it.
Well, I'm grateful for that and grateful to be here.
Excuse me, but I spell it R-O-A-D.
With a Harley in front of that.
Thank you.
I'm here only to join my colleagues in offering very strong support for the resolution that's before you today. Just a couple of messages to impart. One, a huge thanks to the mayor in particular for his leadership on this issue. So often it's the case in politics and at the level at which we work that really good ideas bubble up from local government, and the political support for things that eventually happen in the state begin because of the resolute action of local governments. And we've seen that especially in the sustainability, recycling, climate realms, where it's aggressive action by local government that has helped create the political will to move things forward at the state level. And I think very much that's what I see happening here. So thank you for that leadership. And the other message is that, as I think you understand, and my colleagues certainly do, passing a bill in the Oregon State Legislature is a difficult thing to do, and there are no guarantees here. And we move forward, I think, with a lot of confidence, the three of us, that we can muster the political support to pass this on the statewide level, but we make no guarantees, and I urge you to follow this, not only adopt this resolution, but then follow its intent, and if we are unsuccessful next session in Salem, I hope we are not, but if we are, to move swiftly, move resolutely with an ordinance that will implement this for my constituents, for the city of Portland, who have expressed so strongly their support for banning plastic bags. So appreciate in particular the mayor's leadership, his staff, the organizations that have worked on this issue, and you all for consideration of the resolution today.
Before we dismiss this panel, I just want to see if my colleagues have any comments they want to share with the panel.
I did. I wanted to express that nobody will appreciate more than I do how difficult the task is going to be to navigate the next session to get approval of this bill, and not to mention how high the stakes are then in the governor's race to make sure it gets signed once it's passed, and that's all but uncertain given the dynamics of the governor's race. So I appreciate the leadership of Senator Haas and Senator Dingfeld and Representative Cannon in navigating these waters. It's a very challenging process in Salem to get through, and I know what's ahead of you, so appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad we're moving together in lockstep, and I appreciate your work with Mayor Adams to make sure that we're all on the same page.
I just want to acknowledge that we're very fortunate in Portland to have such strong partners in the legislature and to have such a positive working relationship. And I also want to acknowledge Martha Pellegrino and her team working behind the scenes that help us work on these issues so effectively. So thank you all. Mayor Adams, last word?
No.
No, I think yes is the last
word. I mean, I'll make comments as we vote.
Okay. Thank you all very much. And Carla, do we have folks who've signed up?
Yes, we have six people signed up. And the first three, please come on up, are Pete Stauffer, Tara Gallagher, and Terry Parker.
Welcome to the City Council. Welcome back, I should say.
Yeah.
You each have 3 minutes. Tara, why don't you kick it off? Just state your name, and then you have 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Tara Gallagher. I'm with the Surf Rider Foundation. I'm also a student at Lewis and Clark Law School, as well as one of the people responsible for a lot of the noise you had in here a couple weeks ago. First off, I want to thank Sam for his continued leadership and support on this issue. So thank you, Sam. I'm sorry you can't be here today. As was demonstrated to you on July 14th, there are thousands of people in the city who support an ordinance banning single-use plastic bags. We understand the political reasons behind passing a resolution as opposed to an ordinance. However, our constituency would like to see the council pass binding policy, and we urge you to absolutely commit to the actions stated in the resolution before you today. I have been working on this issue with Surfrider for almost 2 years now. I have encountered many people who live, work, and play in this city, and I can tell you one thing, they get it. There are others here and on your staff who can more eloquently recite the environmental, social, and economic reasons for passing this resolution, and I'm sure by now you've heard them all. To quote the infinite wisdom of Dr. Seuss, sometimes the questions are complicated and the answers are simple. Solving the crisis in our ocean is a complicated problem, but the answers are simple. Reducing the amount of single-use plastics by bringing our own bags to the store will reduce the amount of plastic in our ocean and in our food chain. Simple. Again, I urge you to create binding policy for the city of Portland. Pass this resolution because it is simple, and it is the right thing to do. Portland is ready, and we've been patiently waiting. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure. Mayor Adams and members of City Council, my name is Pete Stauffer, and I'm a resident of Southeast Portland. I'm also a member of the Portland chapter of the Surfrider Foundation and one of the organizers of the Ban the Bag Coalition. First of all, I want to say it's really terrific to see this on City Council agenda, and really want to thank the mayor and all of you for moving forward on this issue of banning single-use plastic bags, both in Portland as well as statewide. Reusable bags, as you know, have many advantages. They're much better for the environment, both locally and at a global scale. They can save money for both businesses and consumers. They can also help improve our waste management. So for all these reasons and many more, we do strongly support the resolution before you, and we hope that you will pass it today. We do expect this resolution will create the necessary momentum to get a policy passed at the state level in early 2011. As you know, we did hold a big rally here a couple weeks ago. Hundreds of people turned out. And for those of us that worked so hard to organize it, we knew that we were going to have a good turnout. But I think what really struck us is just the people that came out of the woodwork. I probably spent about 7 hours in front of City Hall that day. And so many people who had work or had school couldn't make it to City Council chambers, but they wanted to come by. They wanted to engage and wanted to express their support. People from all ages, people from all aspects of the community. And I think from those folks' perspective, as Tara said, they want to see a policy implemented that will ban single-use plastic bags. Passing this resolution is a huge step forward, and we're really excited about that opportunity today. But I think for a lot of those folks, there is some implied good faith that the state lawmakers can get a bill passed in 2011. We'll certainly be there to support them, but that's the outcome that we're looking for. And if for whatever reason that doesn't happen, that citizens of Portland can count on you, the mayor and city council, to move forward with an ordinance to address this issue at the city level. That's the message we've been hearing from our supporters. And, you know, that's what we want to communicate back to you. The final thing, I just want to take a moment specifically to thank Mayor Adams and his staff, especially Megan Ponder, for all their work on this issue. We know how much time you've put into this over the past 3 years, and we really appreciate it. And I think your willingness to, quote-unquote, step aside and go the route of a resolution and work with the state lawmakers says a lot to your commitment to the issue. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Parker, I'm just guessing you're here to enthusiastically endorse this proposal, but we welcome.
No, I'm not.
We look forward to your testimony.
Terry Parker, lifetime Portlander. With your zeal to ban plastic bags, not only are you growing the cloud of shady socialism that now hangs over City Hall, but you are once again only listening to and catering to the special interest of your inner circles with yet another piece of your single purpose and obsessive social engineering agenda that aims to control and dictate lifestyles, be it what kind of housing people live in, how people sort their garbage, what type of transport method people use, how they cross the Columbia, what people eat, and now how they bring those groceries home. Poll after poll has shown the majority of mainstream Portlanders do not support a ban on plastic bags. Portland is already well known for its anti-business climate. A ban on plastic bags and requiring a minimum fee for carry-out bags, which is price-fixing by the government, only adds to the negative business climate. Furthermore, passing this type of legislation will make it easier for shoplifters, increase the cost of living for many people, and will eliminate private sector jobs, thereby adding to an already high unemployment rate, as many of your previous social engineering policies have already accomplished. If litter is the problem, then set up a recycle program for people to turn in plastic bags and get paid for it. Having to either bring your own carry-out bag or pay for a courtesy bag every time a person goes into a retail store is a bunch of crapola. Cloth bags are inconvenient and not always sanitary. Calling plastic bags a single-use product is narrow-minded and erroneous. The protesters have proved the latter point, demonstrating plastic bags are a multi-use product by wearing them as clothing. A cigarette is a single-use product. There are far more butts on the street than there are plastic bags. Likewise, if plastic bags are banned, there will likely be more dog doo on the streets, too. Additionally, having Fred Meyer doing an about-face so quickly clearly gives the appearance of a concealed backroom arrangement whereby Freddy's has been offered a non-transparent deal for their support. Portland city government is fast becoming physically irresponsible to the people it's supposed to serve, while at the same time dismissing the negative aspects of those actions as they apply to taxpayers and the economy. Specifically targeting chain stores for the ban visibly makes it evident Portland city government is also outwardly practicing its own form of discrimination. All this social engineering openly demonstrates mainstream Portlanders can no longer trust the city council to represent them or the inherent freedom of choice principles this country was founded on. Finally, if you are so self-confident the populace will support this type of legislation, then at the very least, back that confidence up by an amendment to your resolution that requires any kind of plastic bag ban and or minimum carry-out bag fee be referred to the people for their up or down vote. Not doing so basically indicates a dictatorial deception is in process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Carla, would you call the next three?
Brock Howell, Paige Watkins, and Tristan Fields.
Welcome to the City Council. All we need is your first name and, your full name, and you each have 3 minutes. Who wants to start?
I'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
My name is Brock Howell. I'm the State Policy Advocate for Environment Oregon. We have over 30,000 members statewide, and we work to protect clean air, clean water, and open space. We care about this issue because we care about our oceans. And there's a toxic soup of plastic that stretches from 500 miles off our coast all the way to Japan. And the single most item of plastic that Oregon has on its beaches is plastic bags. So I think, as a previous speaker has said, that the simple solution here is to stop using plastic bags at checkout stands. We have talked to tens of thousands of Portlanders and Oregonians since the last week of March. In a very short time frame, we have seen broad support from Oregonians and from Portlanders to take action to ban the bag to protect our ocean. There's nearly 30 organizations of environmental and other organizations that support this effort to ban the bag. There's over 300 businesses around the state, over 150 here in the city to ban the bag. So this is not an oppositional issue. This is something that Portlanders care about, and they want action right now. Our goal is ultimately to ban the bag statewide at all retail checkout stands. We would hope, regardless of what happens, that the action today will lead to a ban by January 1st, 2012, of all plastic bags, single-use plastic bags, at checkout stands by that date, by January 1st, 2012, here in the city. And hopefully, we don't have to take further action after today, which is why I'm glad that we're pursuing a resolution in order that we can proceed with the statewide effort to ban the bag. And thank you very much. I want to specifically thank the leadership of Mayor Sam Adams over the past 3 years, the City Council's entertainment of this for the past few months as we've been pursuing it much more aggressively than those past 3 years. And I'm hopefully really appreciate the action that's about to be taken today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You're up.
Hi, my name is Tristan Fields. I'm a resident of Portland, and I didn't bring a prepared speech, so I'm a little nervous. But I moved here from Seattle about 3 years ago, and part of the reason why I moved here was that the city works so well together. So I want to congratulate you guys first for doing such a good job at working so well compared to Seattle. I feel like you guys just, you know, you collaborate and you talk and you are able to push things through. So, but I am here on behalf of Ban the Bag, and I wanted to ask that you make the resolution a binding resolution. I think it's pretty important that you make sure and, you know, hold true to what your constituents have asked. And so, you know, and, you know, support the state legislation and for it, but also support what the city has asked for. Let's see, what else was I going to say? And also, I appreciated the counter talk that the other viewpoint that was brought up, but I think it's really important to, you know, make a stand and really have like an economic goal to be sustainable, because that's what's going to set us apart as a city across the country. And so I'd really like to see Portland stand out as a city, and I want to, as a person who's moved here, I want to support that. So thanks for your time.
If I could just, and thank you for your testimony, you did a wonderful job. But you alluded to whether it's a binding resolution, which is an interesting point. I just want to clarify that when we have a resolution before us, if an individual commissioner votes for that resolution, they are in effect committing to the outcome that's set forth in the resolution. And in that sense, it's binding because the commissioner has said, individual commissioner has said, I support this, and we'll see it through.
Okay.
We don't really have a process for amending to make it more or less binding.
Oh, okay.
The reality is, if each of us were replaced tomorrow, a future council can technically take an action. But it is binding in the sense that anyone who supports it is making that public commitment. I just want to clarify that, because I'm not aware of any amendment that makes a resolution more or less binding. But our actions in voting to support it is what I think you're looking for.
Right.
So thank you very much.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We're glad you moved here.
Yeah. I'm Paige Watkins. I'm a local student. Thank you for hearing me today. I'm sorry to hear that Sam Adams can't be here, because I know that he has been a very wonderful leader in this movement, and I'd like to thank him for that. For years, the thought of plastic bags polluting our environment for 15 minutes or less of convenience has kept me up at night. Not kidding. I have nightmares about environmental things, and I think that every American should care about their oceans and their environment. Just yesterday, Plastic Pollution Coalition released a study that plastics are affecting animals in the deserts as well as the oceans. In Saudi Arabia and Egypt, there have been numerous accounts of camels, birds of prey, and gazelle dying, essentially suffering like the sea turtles do in the ocean from choking on plastic bags. Mexico City has banned plastic bags, so has San Francisco and numerous other areas around the world, all of which were effective in consumer education and plastic pollution reduction. I'm here today to urge you to push this forward. If not for the planet's delicate ecosystem for excessive pollution, last week I picked up 27 plastic bags from a 2-block stretch of sidewalk. Just a normal day. If not for excessive pollution for the local economy, plastic bags are a petroleum product, as we all know, which of course is not local, nor are they manufactured around here. But think about paper bags, the second best choice behind reusable bags, and think of how many paper mills there are within a 100-mile radius. Trees can be replanted, while oil used to make plastic bags takes millions of years to develop. This can really help the local economy, if for no other reason Portland needs to ban plastic bags because the city is a huge environmental influence of the region. Please don't wait for the state. Thank you.
Thank you for your excellent testimony. Thank you all. Carla, do we have anyone else?
That's all who signed up.
Okay, council discussion? Hearing none, this is a resolution. Do I have a motion to adopt the resolution?
I don't think we need to do that.
Don't need one? Vote. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Leonard?
This is a one in a series of steps that all by itself probably doesn't significantly alter what occurs on the planet, but taken and combined in conjunction with a number of things that need to be done to reduce global warming is an important step. We cannot continue to use fossil fuels, which create an excessive amount of carbon dioxide, which insulates the atmosphere and causes the planet to warm to the state that it is and expect the species to survive. Doesn't mean that banning plastic bags is the answer, but it is a component of excessive petroleum use. It's a component of excessive carbon dioxide, and that, along with a number of other measures, don't need just to be adopted by Portland and the state, because that doesn't get it done. It needs to be adopted throughout the U.S. and the world. And my hope is that sooner rather than later, the entire world understands that we are borrowing on our children's and grandchildren's future by the excessive use of fossil fuels. So I appreciate the diligent leadership of Mayor Adams in bringing this to the place that it has, the partnership we have with our legislature, and look forward to this passing. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Adams and Senator Haas, for reaching this agreement. To me, adopting this resolution is very similar to the Council in 2008 adopted a resolution saying that they would provide health care insurance to children if the state did not pass such legislation. And as the rookie commissioner, I was assigned the task of implementing that should the state not pass that legislation, which would have cost billions of dollars and, frankly, been very, very difficult to do. That gave me a lot of motivation to go down to Salem and work with Speaker Nolan and Representative Greenlake and various other folks to make sure that to encourage the state to pass the legislation. This is similar. And please don't think that just because the council is passing this resolution that your work is done. We unanimously passed a resolution last year asking the federal government to look again at whether there are any health impacts from cellular facilities in the right-of-way. And I thought, you know, as the new commissioner, well, we've passed this resolution and this is going to just move forward and that's it. Well, when I checked in with one of our congressional delegation, he said, well, I haven't heard from citizens, so I don't think this is a big issue. So you would like to think that the council passing a resolution would make all the difference. I don't believe it does. It's citizens who make the difference in advocating, and your work is just starting to get this passed in Salem. I want to address why do it in these tough economic times, because that was one of my concerns when I first heard about doing it in Portland. And the answer is because the current gift of single-use bags by the retailers is costing the retailers money. But we can't let market forces take care of this unless everybody does it, because otherwise that puts Portland merchandisers and the particular ones who do the right thing at a competitive disadvantage in giving bags away when other retailers are doing so. To me, it has to be statewide, and it has to be charging for the paper bags as well as banning all plastic bags. So I'm very excited about the prospect of doing this statewide. And it's something that Oregon has a history of doing, as was alluded to with the bottle bill, that a ban from the state on plastic bags would set a precedent for the entire country. As somebody who grew up in England where nobody was given reusable bags, everybody carried their own. I had a wicker basket, which was more heavy than the stuff I would put in it as I was growing up. We're now getting back to a more sustainable way of life here in the United States, and I'm glad to see that. Thank you for your advocacy on this, and thank you for your diligence. Thank you for showing up again today, in addition to a couple of weeks ago. I will work very hard with the state legislature to encourage passage of this and encourage you as you're going around Oregon on trips this summer to talk with people in Bend and Pendleton and Harney County and everywhere else that Oregonians, Portlanders, go around the state. We need to be explaining why this makes economic sense for retailers as well as while it makes environmental sense. And again, thank you, Mayor Adams, for your leadership on this. Aye.
Fish?
I'm pleased to support this resolution because I strongly support a statewide ban on single-use plastic bags. I want to commend Mayor Adams, who's not feeling well and is at home today, for the leadership that he has demonstrated over the last few years to bring us to this point. And I also want to thank our key leaders in the state legislature who joined with us today and who have been involved in a collaborative approach to get to this point. I want to thank the hundreds of people who have come to the council, including the Bag Monsters, the people who wrote to my office or emailed us, and all those who shared their concerns about the impact of plastic bags on our natural environment. This action today keeps us on the forefront of progressive policies on sustainability. Several years ago, this council resolved to promote maximum efficiency and minimum health and environmental impacts in our solid waste and recycling system. This resolution is a significant step in that direction. More recently, in our city-county climate action plan, we committed to moving toward the goal of reducing solid waste we generate by 25% and recovering 90% through recycling and reuse. Around the country, communities are looking for ways to reduce the environmental impacts, particularly their use of single-use plastic bags, and I'm extremely proud that Portland is at the forefront of this effort. Thanks again to Mayor Adams for his leadership and the great work of his team and Martha Pellegrino and her colleagues in bringing us to this point. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Adams?
Well, in addition to the thanks that I want to reiterate, at the beginning of this council item, I want to thank my colleagues for their support of this effort in voting for this resolution today. I want to add to the list of thanks staff team, especially Megan Ponder and the environmental sustainability and planning team that includes Lisa Libby and Jean Green. I want to thank Mark Pellegrino. And this is a signal that we are committed
the resolution passes. Congratulations to all. We have one more item on our agenda, which is on the 4/5 agenda. Carla, would you please read item number 1098-1? Sorry?
We saw 1098, the regular.
Excuse me. You're right. Could you read 1098?
Mm-hmm. Pay claim of James Chassie Estate.
Welcome to City Council.
Morning.
Have some introductory remarks.
Sound problems.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, commissioners. I'm James Rice. I'm a deputy city attorney. I have been the lead attorney in the litigation aspect of this matter. There's been an ordinance that's been submitted by RISC to resolve this pending litigation. I've had the opportunity to meet with you at various times during these past few years. The matter ultimately came for a settlement conference. Chief Judge of the United States District Court, Ann Aiken, was involved. She reached a resolution of this matter on behalf of the city. The county had previously settled their aspect of the case. AMR, the ambulance company, had also resolved their claims were against them. This would be the final defendant, the city and the officers that we represent. We now are proposing that the city settle the remaining claim by issuing a check in the amount of $766,000 and $767 to resolve the claim finally. There are some probate matters that the plaintiff's lawyer would be working on to resolve it as well. It's been a long matter involving the tragic death of Mr. Chassie. Immediately after the death, Mayor Potter and also Chief Sizer implemented some changes. There have been additional changes in the Bureau as well. And hopefully with the payment of this claim, this would bring this tragic matter to a conclusion. If there are any questions, I would be happy to address those.
Okay, thank you very much. Carla, do we have folks who have signed up to testify?
We do. We have three people signed up.
You can come back if we... Thanks.
Please come on up. Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, Dan Handelman, and Marcia Myers.
Welcome to you all. Reverend Haynes, it's an honor to have you with us today, as
Thank
always.
You, sir.
Would you please lead us off? We just need your name, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
Yes, I am the Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, Jr., the chairperson of the Abana Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. To our illustrious male who is here ill at this time, Sam Adams, distinguished members of the City Council, the Abana Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform affirms the negotiated settlement of the James Chassie Jr. civil lawsuit for the wrongful and unjust death of James Chassie Jr. Our hearts and prayers go out to the Chassie family for their long and vigilant struggle to render justice for their son and all citizens of Portland who have been the victims of police violence by some members of the Portland Police Bureau. This case is a pivotal case like the Kendra James and Aaron Campbell case in unmasking the pattern of excessive force and deadly force by some officers within the Portland Police Bureau, as well as unmasking the breakdown in procedures, training, communication, investigation, reporting, and accountability. We pray that this case, along with the other pivotal cases, will be used to reform all aspects of the Portland Police Bureau and to bring justice and accountability for the citizens of Portland. Let it be heard throughout this city and that the spirit of James Chassie Jr. will live on, and that James Chassie Jr. did not die in vain, and the struggle will continue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Handelman?
Good morning, Commissioners and Mayor Adam via phone. My name is Dan Handelman. I'm with Portland Cop Watch, and this is our testimony on the James Chassie Jr. incident settlement. While we are disappointed that the settlement means we will never hear the involved parties explain themselves in a public courtroom, we are pleased to see there's an agreement to modify the gag order that prevented the lawyers from sharing certain documents with the public. It's unfortunate that the release of public documents has to be negotiated in a state that prides itself on sunshine laws. Needless to say, this one incident has cost the city and county taxpayers a lot of money. While Portland's insurance carrier will be paying more than half of the $1.6 million record sum, over $750,000 comes from the city's self-insurance fund. One reason it would have been important to hold the involved officers and the supervisors of the transit division more accountable would be to send the message that beating a man to death is not acceptable police practice. I'm sure that everyone here is hoping there will be no more shootings and deaths this coming year for many reasons. We don't want them to lose another life. We don't want more traumatized police acting out through road rage, as both Sergeants Nice and Westerman were involved in shooting incidents. And, of course, Nice helped pummel Mr. Chassie. The city doesn't want to pay any more money out than they already have. The council document is clear the money that is being paid out is coming from this current fiscal year's budget, which implies one reason the vote was delayed from the May settlement announcement was to pass it into the 2010-11 budget cycle. As with the OIR description of the incident, which we will discuss in depth, this evening. The risk management summary of what happened carefully leaves out some facts, but states the officers believed Chassie was urinating on the street, knocked him to the ground, and that he died while being transported to the hospital. It is important to say now, we will repeat again, there's no mention in the settlement of the way in which Mr. Chassie's battered body was carried like a sack of potatoes, which the medical examiner says may have pushed the splintered bones into his ribs, and neither document addresses the kicks to the head observed by several witnesses, which in theory could have been fatal. I've heard that counsel will be hearing revised versions of the TriMet agreements posted to a previous agenda today. It's interesting those agreements are a major focus in the OIR report and point out the administrative fallacy of trying to have the Portland Police command officers from 14 different agencies. Perhaps it is time to look again at some type of police force that's just for TriMet, but which has a strong working accountability system. We really wish the public had had more time to review the OIR report and that counsel had scheduled the settlement and report at the same time on the agenda, so those interested in the subject could have testified on both items. While this settlement does bring some closure to the city, it is not going to be assumed, I hope, today that this will be the last time we will hear the name of James Chassie Jr. spoken either in these chambers, at the Bureau in its roll calls, or out in the streets. We do hope that Mayor Adams will be able to participate this evening in the presentation of the OIR report as well, since he is the police commissioner, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Myers.
Thank you for being here and for focusing us on this incredible learning opportunity. I have been here before. My name is Marcia Myers, and I do represent the Real Wealth of Portland Unitarian Church. And I do work nationally for peace and justice, and that model of peace and justice through power and control and fear is being challenged at many, many levels. And as some of the people earlier in testimony for other things mentioned, Portland has an incredible reputation and a history of being progressive and being a model for the changes that we want to see in the world. And this opportunity to model how we treat each other and to perpetuate a model of police work that is what we teach in school, which they are peacekeepers. And almost 4 years ago, I went to a protest rally when James Chassie was killed. And I am here with his spirit. I was there, and they did get me on television saying the same thing I'm saying today. I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, I'm a teacher. I know that we can have a community where our police are truly there to provide peace, not through power and control, but through respect and dignity. So we have this opportunity. We've had a long time to look at it. I want to say, even though I'm delighted that it's finally coming to a close, and I am very honored that I can speak again, I want to say that it's for a society that has a very short attention span. 4 years, almost 4 years, is way too long. It's cost us a lot, not only financially, but in respect for our peacekeepers. So I just want to say thank you, Sam Adams, for using that term, and I'm sure the rest of you do too, but I've picked up on that, and that I want to encourage you to continue modeling what we want for our children, and we do that through the way we treat each other. So thank you again, and I am glad this painful situation is finally coming to some kind of closure.
Thank you all for your testimony. You. Carla, anyone else sign up?
That's all who signed up.
Any council discussion? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Leonard?
I've been on the council now almost 8 years. And in the time that I've been on council, there are a few votes that I've taken that stand out to me as those that I will always remember. The vote for the settlement of the Raymond Guerter case, which up until now was the most that we'd ever settled for, stood out to me, not so much because anybody at the police bureau or anybody that supervised those at that incident intended for anything to do wrong, but rather there were internal procedures that weren't followed that led directly to the death of Mr. Guerter. There have been a number of other incidents similar to that, and I've tried to use each of those opportunities as a member of the council to articulate to the police bureau specifically, because of those cases and the settlements involved, the things that I think needed to be done to prevent them from happening again in the future. I have never used this perch or this position to unfairly judge or harshly attack or unfairly accuse any of our police officers or any of our other public safety personnel, for that matter, about an incident, but rather have viewed them, as I believe all managers should, as opportunities to improve for the future. But after the death of Aaron Campbell, I have to tell you that I felt like I wasn't getting there. That the Aaron Campbell death, so remarkably similar in circumstance to what happened in the Raymond Guerter death, in terms of the incident and the lack of basic fundamental communications on the emergency scene, caused me deep concern. I don't think that at this point anymore. I'm not left with feeling as though, and I will remark specifically to this case in a moment, I'm not specifically talking about this case, as I am more using this as hopefully a opportunity to learn for the future. But in general, I think that with the appointment of Chief Mike Reese, there is a new day in the Bureau, and I'm not talking about in the short term. I'm talking about over my lifetime here and the various chiefs I've interacted with going back to the mid-'80s until now. What I have seen happen in the last couple of months gives me a lot of optimism that the Bureau is going to use these opportunities not as opportunities to feel overly defensive or to feel like they're being picked on, but rather truly to learn from. And to be specific, in these instances, such as the James Chassie case, we hire public safety personnel, not just because of their ability physically to do the job, whether they be firefighters or police officers, but we hire them and try very, very hard to pick people whose judgment is good. And that sounds easier than it is, but that is probably one of the keys to hiring successful police officers that in the first instance avoid something such as the James Chassie case from occurring or other incidents that I've alluded to. But when we hire people, we train them. We train them in not just the statutes in the case of the police bureau, not just in the statutes that they'll be enforcing, but tactics in how to protect themselves and how to protect the public. And we have gotten to the point in that training, and then being specific about this case and in my discussion with police officers, where I think some police officers actually feel hamstrung by their training to do what it is their protocol says or possibly face discipline. So in this instance, one of the criticisms I have is that officers should use their judgment to modify specific training protocols and even possibly their experience for a given situation. So for an example, I'm not clear why the amount of force was used for a 42-year-old schizophrenic man that weighed 145 pounds that was needed to restrain Mr. Chassie. And the answer I've been given from some in the police bureau is that is our protocol. That's how we're trained. We're trained to take down people a certain way. And I believe that's probably true. But I have to say that if that's how you're trained, then the police bureau also ought to use as a standard of conduct is use your experience and in the last analysis, use your judgment in making any decision that involves physical force. If I can impart anything to my friends at the police bureau, it is that. It is. We hire really good people to be police officers. I've met a lot of them. I've ridden around with them. I've seen them exercise judgment as to the application of specific training protocols. I've seen them exercise judgment as to the application of statutes. We have to have police officers that do that. And if we mechanically and robotically respond to each incident by what the training protocol says and doesn't allow an incident to be modified based on our judgment and our experience, then more James Chassie cases will occur, more Aaron Campbell cases will occur, more Raymond Gorder cases will occur. We have to get to the point, and I don't know where this balance is, and I frankly am as the rest of the council is, looking to the good training, experience, and judgment of Chief Mike Reese to find where that balance is, where we tell officers, yes, you have a protocol. Yes, you have a training process that you go through. But in the final analysis, I, the police chief, and we, the council, expect you to use your judgment. You use your judgment about the amount of force you need. You use your judgment about whether or not you need to use deadly force, whether it leads to the death of somebody or not. That somehow, that fine point needs to be arrived at. And as I said, this is probably a wholly different explanation today than what I would have given 3 months ago. But I do believe we're on the course in the city with the police bureau, because I think we have now a police bureau that wants to learn from these experiences and wants to make sure that we don't repeat them. And I certainly do not like sitting up here voting on these settlements. It's to say it's unpleasant isn't fair to unpleasant things that I do. It is beyond unpleasant. And I can't imagine the ramifications that this incident has had for the family of Mr. Chassie. I appreciate the hard work and the diligent work of the city attorney's office as they have briefed me over the ensuing months on the talks and the settlement that has reached us, and it is with sadness that I vote to approve this. Aye.
Fritz?
I'm grateful to our legal team and to the family of Mr. Chassie and to the community that we've been able to resolve the legal and financial issues surrounding this tragedy. This settlement has been a long time coming, and I appreciate the hard work that the city and the Chassie family have devoted to resolving the claim. We have all learned lessons from this tragedy. Some improvements have already been instituted by the police under the innovative leadership of Chief Rosie Sizer, now being continued by Chief Mike Reese. Dr. Haynes mentioned training and communication. We can and will make even more improvements on both of these. I know from my 26 years in psychiatric nursing that it's very difficult often in the moment to tell whether somebody's experiencing a psychiatric and mental illness or a drug or alcohol-induced delirium or some other behavior that they have under their control. And so the more we can improve our training for our offices to help them recognize that, the more I will be working with both the Bazelon Project with Cascadia and Multnomah County to look at how do we provide services to people before they come into contact with police, and how do we work with the 911 center to triage Project Respond and other and mental health workers rather than police if there's a belief that there may be a mental health problem, but also recognizing that Mr. Chassie was in treatment and was in housing and that this tragedy still happened. So we still have a ways more to go. I know that we're going to have more conversations about this issue tonight, and Dan mentioned why didn't we combine the two hearings. I think it's appropriate to separate the settlement from looking at why the investigation took so long. I also believe it provides two different opportunities for citizens to testify on this case, whether it's more convenient for them to come in during the day or in the evening. So I supported the placement of these issues on the agenda. And I thank Marcia Myers and the work of the Real Wealth of Portland, the First Unitarian Church, looking at peace officers and creating a culture of peace, which I know Chief Mike Reese embraces, and that we have honored, we will honor the memory of James Chassie in working towards those goals and being truly committed to providing a safer place for all Portlanders. Aye.
Fish.
My colleagues are on a typical day are eloquent. Today, I think they've raised the bar. This ordinance settles a lawsuit, but it does not settle the matter. The best way to honor the life and tragic death of Mr. Chassie going forward is to forthrightly acknowledge the fact that we have a crisis in mental health.